Welcome to the Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network.
And today's date is September 10th, 2020.
Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end. And that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice for Yeshua tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get your the machine, leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message.
And the phone number is 620-878-4682. That's 620-878-4682. And then if you have an emergency, text Dan. Let him know you need to call him at 316-619-4886 on his cell. 316-619-4886. You can always find the updates with the breaking news about the Wichita Mission Church radio program archives and the contact information all on our ministry hub, which is prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com.
Okay, folks, we're a national satellite radio program which is generally cast live on international sites, on YouTube, some FM stations. So pray about supporting airtime. And while you're at it, pray about support. Frank is in Eagle Point, Oregon. That's where the station's actually at. And he just said that there was fire on both sides of him. And I asked him if the sky was red, and he said, yeah, when they could see through the smoke. I asked him if
it was hard to breathe, and he said yes.
Yeah, okay, all right.
And it's coming his way, so pray for my radio person over there, Frank.
Okay.
Okay, now let's on another note, let's thank our listener base in places like Columbia. I almost said California. Cali, Columbia. Manila.
Manila.
That's the Gorilla Manila. Philippines. Yeah. I remember that show.
Don't disparage Manila, man. Come on, go on.
Barcelona, Spain.
Barcelona, Spain.
Tampa, and then in the USA, we have Tampa, Florida, Fresno, California, Atlanta, Georgia, and Wichita, Kansas jumped into the group that listens more to the podcast when it posts later tonight. More people in Wichita listen to the podcast than anywhere else, according to the stats, I guess.
Amen. Here's another note from Frank. He says that we lost power yesterday for 3 hours. The cause was a fire. So if we go off the air, folks, that's what happens. That's because of the fire. So let's keep this in mind, and we're going to talk about the fire a little bit when we get going. But by the way, folks, we ask you, please send us an email to radio@messiahsbranch.org. or MBM at MessiahsBranch.org, or a text to my cell phone, 316-649. Let us know what city you're from, and if you're being affected by these fires, let us know. I will not use you this for donations or anything like that, harass you or anything. I'm just curious where you're coming from. And right now, I'm curious if you're in the firestorm. Follow us and share us at Twitter. That's Pastor Dan Catlin at Branch77. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I really pray for all these people who are affected by the fire. But Father, I pray radio tonight goes according to your will, not our will, Father, and give us the right words and the things to tell the people, and give everyone out there ears in which to hear and understand the truth. So please, Father Yahweh, in your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Okay, well, let's start with this. let's do this song, and then we'll get into, we've got some things to get into and lots of things to talk about.
And I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse.
There's a man going round taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down when the man comes around. The hairs on your arm will stand up at the terror in each sip and in each sup. Will you partake of that last offered cup or disappear into the potter's ground when the man comes around? Hear the trumpets, hear the pipers, 100 million angels singing. Multitudes are marching to the big kettle drum. Voices calling, voices crying. Some are born and some are dying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come. And the whirlwind is in the thorn tree. The virgins are all trimming their wicks. The whirlwind is in the thorn tree. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Till Armageddon, no shalom, no shalom. Then the father hen will call his chickens home. The wise men will bow down before the throne. And at his feet, they'll cast their golden crowns. When the man comes around. Whoever is unjust, let him be unjust still. Whoever is righteous, let him be righteous still. Whoever is filthy, let him be filthy still. Listen to the words long written down when the man comes around. Hear the trumpets, hear the pipers, 100 million angels singing. Multitudes are marching to the big kettle drum. Voices calling, voices crying. Some are born and some are dying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come. And the whirlwind is in the thorn tree. The virgins are all trimming their wicks. The whirlwind is in the thorn tree. It's hard for thee to kick against the prick. In measured 100 weight and penny pounds, when the man comes around.
Yeah, that was a song called "When the Man Comes Around" by Johnny Cash, and I really like it. And it's been around for a long time. And Johnny isn't with us, but a lot of people don't know that he sang. He did do a lot of gospel songs, but he did some apocalyptic songs, and that's one of them. And it always hits me. It's got some pretty good lyrics in it. So to a lot of people, it really looks apocalyptic out there. I think we should probably deal with the fires first. So let me get down here to some things. Some interesting things about the fire is that the most interesting thing I think about the fire is that they a lot of people on the internet are saying, you know, that like it's from God, because they say California just passed a pedophile bill a few days ago, and so now they're getting burnt. Well, you know, people don't look very far along, because if that was the specific case of these fires and the judgment was for these fires, Oregon didn't pass it. Washington State didn't pass it. So God's just burning them along with, you know, California. But what we do know, we will get into it after a while, because I got a lot of things to talk about with it, but it's not just coming from lightning, as we have found out. So anyway, I agree with you, Frank, and point that back out to me in a little bit when I get
into
it.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, well, we've got some information for it, but I want to deal with this return thing first, try to keep this in order, because I kind of scheduled our time.
Right.
Believe it or not. Okay. We're going to talk about the National and Global Day of Prayer and Repentance in between the Washington Monument and Capitol Hill, Saturday, September 26, 2020, at 9 p.m. The return evening night service thing is at 6 p.m. And the Next Generation, we'll read it off of that. Anyway, it's at the National Mall, and they're citing 2 Chronicles 7:14. Now, did you happen to watch that thing that I sent you?
Yes, I watched it.
So who was that?
Jonathan Cahn.
Jonathan Cahn. Now, a lot of people, they call him America's prophet. And as most people know, he wrote the book called The Harbinger, and then he did The Cementia.
Is one of the books I read, hey.
Which is one of the few books that you've read. Well, what's really interesting, if you want to go, we want to go into Jonathan Cahn, his books were published by WorldNet Daily. That was the first person that published his books. And WorldNet Daily at that time and I had a relationship. They were sending me their books. Excuse me. And I was interviewing all their authors. So I probably got about the second interview or third interview on the Harbinger. And then I asked him if he'd come back on, you know, in another week. And he said, yeah, he'd come back on. Well, he had already talked about the Harbinger, and he said, well, I got something new I'll run by you, and it's called the Cementia or something like that. And that was a later book and got to be a really big deal. But he sprung it on our radio program right at the first, and he really hadn't put it out on radio before. Not that that's a big deal, but so we have had him on before, and I do believe in his what he says in his books. He's not what he's pointing to is in the Bible. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, so what Jonathan Cahn is saying is the thing. Now, the Chronicles things is this. It says if my people will, that are called by my name, you know, would repent, they would heal their land. He would heal their land. And the problem is, you know, you need a massive of real repentance. So Jonathan Cahn saying this country is just gone. And like I totally agree, unless it comes to repentance. And that's the only way that these things are going to work. So anyway, so he's calling for this prayer, big prayer movement. Now,
and he's calling it the return.
Go ahead.
Okay. The return movement is a movement, an appointed time and a specific day set apart for one purpose, the return of Yahweh by coming before his presence in humility and sincerity in prayer and repentance. The movement begins now and will continue through the entire year of 2020, leading up to the 10 days of prayer, fasting, and repentance, which is the 10 days of all, I'm sure, starting with the biblical Feast of Trumpets and ending with the Day of Atonement, September 18th through September 28th. Yes, that's the 10 days of all.
Right, and I'm not sure. Now, see, the Day of Atonement starts on the, I'm pretty sure.
It's the 18th at dark. No, that's the 27th at dark, I think, yeah.
Yeah.
The 19th is Rosh Hashanah and the...
Okay, well, you don't have to give all those dates because we got them down here and we're going to go into them in a minute, okay? Go ahead.
The central day of the return will be Saturday, September 26, 2020, on the National Mall, and throughout the nation and the world. Come to the live event in Washington or take part in live simulcast wherever you are, in your home, church, town, or city. whether you're an individual, a church leader, a group member, a minister, a pastor, a youth leader, minister organization, prayer movement, etc., there is always a way for you to play a critical part in the return, whether attending the national event or taking part by live semi-class in your cities, towns, churches, or homes, or simply just praying that day.
Okay. Now, let's go with this. I did sign Messiah's Branch up to get the direct link to watch it, and that's going to be and I do like what they're doing. Now,
oh,
see,
I do too.
Well, let's go with this. In it's actually the day before and the night before the Day of Atonement, because Day of Atonement is the only day that we're required to fast. And so, you know, it's better to get this done before that high holy day, which marks judgment, you know, what I'm saying. So it is a good thing to do, and I don't know. Like I say, I may do something different, but I do have Messiah's Branch signed up for it, and I haven't decided whether we're going to here or at the house, but or at the mission church. I might go to the mission church to do it because we're normally not there on Sabbath night. I mean, you know, we're there on Friday nights, not Saturday night.
We're there when the Sabbath begins. We're just not there when the Sabbath ends.
Yeah, very good. I knew I had you on radio for a reason.
The Havdalah service, because the ending one at the end of the Sabbath is the Havdalah.
Well, what's Havdalah mean?
That means the closing of the Sabbath and the day, beginning of the first day of the week.
Okay, it's what we call it is a separation of the Sabbath from the rest of the week. That's
right.
What they call it, the separation. And but anyway, because you know, then it. My problem is then that night, I don't want to, you know, well, it will be the leading. So I don't know. That's up in the air. But I do know that we've signed up to it. And, folks, you can sign up to see the simulcast live yourself right at home or on your computers. You can sign up. Now, the site is, if you go over to, let me get it up here. It's I think it's return.org. The return website. Okay, there it is. Give me a second, folks. There it is. Okay, what's that? It's the return.org, the return.org. But if you go over to the pastor's page, you can naturally find a link to it. You can find the pastor's page from the prophecy page. Go to prophecyhour.com, you'll find the pastor's page, and then, you know, that'll all work itself out. But the links are all there. You can go to it, and you should watch it. And then if you want to Google it, you don't have to Google it. When you get to the pastor's page, there's also some things that, like he was on Sid Roth talking about it. But if you do Google the return, Jonathan Cahn, the return, you can find that he was also on James Dobson's page, family's page, and there's a three-part one over there. We need to repent, folks. I mean, this nation needs to repent. Go ahead.
Yeah, in his video, he said there's a lot of big ministries that are coming together with him on the return at the, and that's who's going to be joining at the Washington Monument.
Yeah, it absolutely is. There's a bunch of ministries. The list of speakers is actually, I'm pretty sure they're right over here anyway.
On the return.org?
Yeah, it's on the return bar.
Yeah, it has everything on the whole event. Be a part of it, resources, daily devotions.
Daily.
A store to buy things, I guess, and there's a place to donate, and all about the whole thing is all over at thereturn.org.
Right, and let's go back to that. So that's what this nation needs, is to repent. You know, even if we can't get these hooligans that are out there doing all these crazy things or whatever, if we repent, the Father can bring justice to them, but we as a church, let's go with this. Everything that's out there right now, the church is responsible for it. You know why the church is responsible for it? Because they kept their mouth shut. They got politically correct, and you see them all the time. They post on Facebook. They say, should a Christian be involved with the election? What kind of idiot even thinks that you shouldn't be involved with the election? You allow that evil to happen because you're not involved in the election, because you're not speaking out against it in church. And people claim to be a watchman, Well, a watchman's duty is point out the evil of the wicked so that they would repent and turn away. If you don't do it, if the church doesn't tell them to repent and turn away, then who does? Whose job is it? Excuse me. So, really, all these things that are happening in this country, the lack of morality and everything else, falls on the doorstep of the church itself.
What upsets me is when I hear somebody tell me, oh, I don't vote, my vote don't count, I ain't messing with that, I ain't getting involved with that, and then they complain about everything. Well, there's the problem. For
right.
them not voting, that one vote could have made the win.
We've seen that
yeah,
in election
that is just
after
not
election
right.
after election.
If you're of age to vote, you need to vote.
Especially this time. Somebody acted like that. It was a big deal and they just did it on a computer or whatever. No, that isn't it. That's what all the mail-in ballots are about. In order for Donald Trump to win this time, because there's going to be so many illegal ballots, we have to come out as a nation with an overwhelming majority to have so many votes that'll overwhelm the illegal votes.
Right.
And so it is a question about votes, and votes do count, and so you need to get
every
out.
Every single
And
vote
I have
counts.
No personal problem with anybody that decides not to vote, but I believe that you should. Tell them where they can find us at, and then we'll go take a break.
You can find all the information, all the archives about radio archives and about the Mission Church, and our contact information is at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. We'll be back in 4 minutes.
Go away, Pastor Dan will be right back.
As I try to figure out what this world is all about, I know one thing without a doubt, my Lord is in control. Careless times I know are here.
Has been defined as the love of wisdom, a search for a general understanding of values and reality by chiefly speculative rather than observational means. At the time Paul wrote the letter to the Colossians, men attempted to add to the commandments of God. These man-made ordinances could not be found in Scripture. Paul said that these philosophical rules and regulations, which he called handwriting of ordinances, were against men, were contrary to them, and that they were nailed to the cross. Based on what Paul said, today's philosophers, those who search for an understanding of values by speculative rather than by observation of Scripture, attempt to nail God's commandments to the cross when they find one that interferes with the wisdom of man. They would lead us to believe that some of God's commandments are contrary to us. But let us have a look at what the Bible says. Were God's commandments against men, contrary to us? Absolutely not. Scripture says that God's commandments are righteous commandments, that they are faithful, that they are delight, that they are truth, and that they will not pass away, for the truth does not change. This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. All His commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. I'm Richard Reeves with Just the Facts. For more information, contact Partakers Publications, Post Office Box 23031, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227, or visit our website at www.toolong.com.
We are back. This is Pastor Dan and Linda Catlin. And
Linda Catlin, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And you said Linda and looked at me, but you already said it.
Okay, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on American Voice Radio Network. Okay, real quick, follow up to the last part of the program, and then we're going to move back on to something else. I said that the church is responsible for these things going on, and that is truth because of the 501(c). They said no political speech when they got the 501(c), so the church started shutting their mouth. But right now, there are some pastors out there that don't quite follow that rule, nor ever have. Pastor Carl Gallup is one of them. But also, when Trump came into office, some of the pastors were worried about that, and they told Trump, and Trump made it a rule that pastors cannot be sanctioned now for political speech.
Good.
So my point is, and I'm telling the church out there, if you're a pastor, you have no excuse now about worrying about losing your 501(c), but a lot of you worry about losing your jobs, but it doesn't matter. You need to speak up. And by the way, Pastor Carl will be on with me at 7 p.m. Central tonight, and we're going to talk about these things. But anyway, so moving backwards. So we were talking about the fires, and, you know, Michael Snyder said read what Snyder says about these a little bit.
Okay, 2020 has been an incredibly difficult year for the United States as a whole, but no part of the country has been hit harder than the states along the West Coast. It has just been one thing after another all year long, and now unprecedented wildfires have turned the skies bright orange and blood red over vast stretches of California and Oregon. Many are using the word apocalyptic to describe what is happening, and others have said that the skies look like something out of a science fiction movie. And they do. I've seen some pictures. They look pretty wild.
They're pretty horrific. Red
that.
That's enough to scare your pants off. And, you know, one of our major supporters that's been with us for a long time in Oregon, now he is a firefighter, and his land and property was under fire, but him and some neighbors got out. They didn't save all the neighbors' households, but his household was saved by his effort. The fire did jump the river in a couple places, but it didn't do any great damage because they had made fire breaks and everything.
He's in California?
No, he is in Oregon.
Oh, he's in Oregon.
Okay, but here's the point. Everybody that looked at it, even the firefighters were, the regular firefighters in the area even came by his property afterwards to see what they did. But they were all pretty astounded how, they saved a huge bunch of riverfront, as they called it. Point is it shows the effort. You know, he even stood on Psalm 97, not 91. Point is faith without works is dead. I believe he believed in his heart of hearts that the Father would deliver their property, but he had to get out there and do the work too. You know,
right.
And that's what faith's all about. You believe it, and you believe by faith, and you move on it. He got out there, and he moved on it with a couple of his friends, and they saved his property, and we'll just say his crops.
It's not enough saved. Just to ask. You have to do your part.
Right, absolutely, absolutely. So anyway, go on here and see.
Okay, and even though hundreds of thousands of acres have already burned in Oregon and Washington, and even though more than 2 million acres have already burned in California, officials are warning that conditions will get even worse as we head into the teeth of the wildfire season. Oh, yeah, it is fire season.
It just started.
Oregon Governor According to Governor Kate Brown, the red skies are being caused by an unprecedented fire event.
That's unprecedented.
Unprecedented. Okay.
You know, like a really unusual event.
Right, because people are starting them.
Right.
Anyway.
Well, we'll get to that.
Oregon Governor Kate Brown said the incident is proving to be an unprecedented and a significant fire event for our state. So far, an estimated 200,000 acres of land has been scorched. More than 2 million acres have already been burned, and normally October and November are the worst months for wildfires in the state. Extreme heat and a bitter drought combined to create ideal conditions for wildfires to break out, and California Governor Gavin Newsom says that there were 14,000 lightning strikes during one recent 24-hour period.
Okay, stop. He blamed the cause of the fires on temperatures and a heat dome. 14,000 lightning strikes. And that's Newsom. That's the governor of California. First off, can't believe anything he says. Here's the point. What's really going on is this.
Police arrest multiple suspects in connection with West Coast wildfires.
Okay, stop. Go ahead.
Okay, law enforcement agencies across the West Coast have arrested multiple alleged arsonists accused of intentionally setting fires while hundreds of blazes wreak havoc in several states. At least 7 people have died, hundreds of homes have been destroyed, and countless communities have been evacuated, CNN reported. A one-year-old boy was killed in Washington State as he and his parents tried to flee the Cold Springs fire over Labor Day weekend, KOMO reported. The bodies of 3 victims were located in Butte County, California, the same location where the deadly campfire took place in 2018, according to the Vice. 3 more people were killed in 2 counties in Oregon. We also fear that this is not going to be the only folks we'll find deceased up there, Marion County Sheriff Joe Cast told CNN. Most of you know the crucial fire situation here in where we live. Further, most of you know that I avoid...
Stop. That's a different thing. I think you stop up here. Okay, well, and so then I got this from a friend I know on Facebook, and he's in that area, and this is what he says. He says, most of you know the crucial fire situation here where I live. Furthermore, most of you know that I avoid divisive issues that are not Torah-based, especially political, etc. However, people are being arrested here for starting these fires. That is factual. The media isn't reporting it, but scanner traffic says some have attempted to block first responders from their duties. I cannot verify the latter, but if true, please, I know that the actions of a few do not reflect the nation as a whole. The point is this guy is telling us, see, this is also a confirmation. Major news isn't reporting that these fires are being set. I've accumulated over the last 2 days several articles, and I posted them at prophecyhour.com that you can find where people are being arrested for setting these fires. Frank pointed out, he said the same $20, we were talking about this in the chat, Frank says it's the same $20 an hour thugs that are rioting and starting the fires. Yes, it is. They're trying to burn everything to the ground.
And I seen a video on, it was a YouTube video somebody posted of private planes flying over California and setting sending torch flames down and starting the fires in the field.
Well, I've seen some of those. Those haven't been confirmed until they've caught somebody. But I weigh on the side of that's probably correct. You know me, I'm just a fat guy. I don't want to get caught up in a trap of saying that I pointed out something that I can't prove.
Yeah, and I know there's a lot of things they can do on the internet to make fake stuff, but those videos look pretty darn real to me.
Right, but you're now in an age where you can completely create everything out of nothing, and
I
it
know.
Looks absolutely real.
What's it called? Photoshop.
Well, but it's way advanced from Photoshop. You know, I mean, it's way advanced because it does moving pictures and everything. They can even take your face, and they do it all the time now. You know, that you can take your face or a politician's face and put it on somebody in pornography and make it look like it's them doing it and then even them.
Oh,
but,
wow.
So it has to be really broken down. So, you know, in fact, movies now are coming out now with actors that are already dead interacting with other people in the movies, you know, and they it looks 100% real. So you're living in an age of deception, and anything is possible.
That,
just because you see a video doesn't mean...
Is that the same thing as... Is that what they call hologram or something?
No, hologram's actually another thing entirely. A hologram is where if they would shoot a thing and then a 3D image pops up right there.
And they look like they're right there, but they're really not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, they did it back a couple of elections ago with a newscaster, and he did it from another place and freaked everybody up.
That's just scary.
But so there's a point. So you really have to prove things. Just because, unless it's your own video, you know, and you saw it yourself, if somebody sends you a video, you got to question it. You got to go deeper. You can't say, "Well, I saw it on video. There it is."
Right. That reminds me of my mom and dad. They always taught us, "Don't believe everything you see, and don't believe everything you hear."
Yeah, absolutely. So anyway, folks, I want to point backwards. We do need repentance, and it's what better day to do it. Now, Rosh Hashanah. Now, Rosh Hashanah is a Feast of Trumpets. What do you know about the Feast of Trumpets? No, don't look at the screen.
Well, I know it's supposed to be the spiritual New Year.
Okay, well, it's...
The beginning of the feast. It's the beginning of the new year.
Okay, well, the Feast of Trumpets, and I look like we're going to have time, so we'll read some of this when I tell you, too. Okay, the Feast of Trumpets is the first of the fall feasts, okay? Then, now, representing spiritually, it also represents a lot of people, if you ask them, what's the Feast of Trumpets? They'll say, well, that's the day Messiah returns. Well, it could be that, okay, but it also is a story. If you look in the Bible, there's trumpets are sounded and the tribulation starts, you know, so the tribulation starts. So September 18th at dark, and it starts this year, September 18th at dark, and it runs through the 19th at dark, so it's dark to dark. So technically, if you ask me what date, I'm going to say it's the
19th.
The 19th, but it starts at dark on the 18th, but dark on the 18th is the 19th.
Because God's days, Yahweh's days, begin at dark and end at dark, not midnight to midnight, dark to dark.
Okay, so then what happens next?
Okay, then at dark on the end of Rosh Hashanah begins the 10 days of awe, which is when you're supposed to make right with everybody you've wronged, repent for all you're doing, and ask for, you know, forgiveness from everybody and get ready for the Day of Atonement.
Okay. So
which we should do every day, but yeah. This is the one that commanded by the Lord.
But as Christians, you know, we're supposed to repent any time that we do it. But these 10 days are of awe, see, which means awesome days. What's awesome mean?
Terrible.
Terrible. Actually, it means terrible. It don't mean awesome. It means terrible. That's what the meaning of the word is, terrible.
So is a thumbs up. If you want good, a thumbs down actually means good. A thumbs up means bad.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. That's absolutely true. So during these 10 awesome days, you repent and turn away. And if you was living in Israel or you had Jewish friends or something, you might get phone calls from them that hey, I'm sorry earlier in the year I did it. Because they believe that when it comes up to the Day of Atonement, then what's going to happen? Then their name's going to get written in the book of life for another year. But this, like I say, the feast are shadow pictures of what will come, and I'm going to explain that to you in a minute. So, okay, Day of Atonement is what day?
The Day of Atonement is the 28th, so it starts on the 27th at dark.
Right, 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 okay. And it represents the Day of Judgment. So let's go like this. So, well, where can you find this stuff in the Bible? Where can you find it in the Bible? If you go to Revelation 19, we're going to try and cover three of these, so if you read pretty fast, 1 to 9 describes, in Revelation 19, 1 to 9, describes what happens on Rosh Hashanah.
Okay, and after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and the power of unto the Lord our Yahweh. For true and righteousness are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Hallelujah, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped Yahweh that sat at the throne, on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah. And the voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our Yahweh, all he his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, a voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord Yahweh reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they that are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, These are the true sayings of Yahweh.
That's the Feast of Trumpets. When he returns, it's the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's one Revelation 1 to 9. So then, Revelation 10 to, then we'll go on, and I'll read this one. This goes on to show you what is the, you know, the Day of Judgment, you know, which is the Day of Atonement. And so we're going to read, I'm going to read Revelation starting in 10. And he fell at his feet to worship him, and he said, See thou to do it, I am thy fellow, don't do it. I am thy fellow servant, which is the testimony of Yeshua. Worship Yahweh, for the testimony of Yeshua is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And righteousness doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame, and on his head were many crowns, and he has a name written that no one knew but himself. And he was clothed in a vesture dipped in blood, and his name was called the Word of Yahweh. Now see, this is Yeshua. This is after the marriage supper of the Lamb. This is the Day of Atonement, and he's coming back to judge the world. You know, okay. And the armies which are falling upon him, white horses.
This is what I'm going to be riding on.
Clothed with fine linen and clean, because you've already been married to him at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, and it should be it smite the nations. And he ruled them with that he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth upon the winepress and burstness of the wrath of the Almighty Yahweh. And he hath on his vesture, on his thigh, a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying, To all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves to the great supper of Yahweh. What's that?
Armageddon. Armageddon. Yeah, I was going to say Valley of Decision.
Well, but it is. That's where they are.
Armageddon.
Ezekiel 39. And you may eat the flesh of kings, and you'll find the same wording. You'll find eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, small and great. And I saw the beast, and the kings of the earth, and their armies, gathered together to make war against him that sat on a horse, and against his army. And the beast was taken with him, and a false prophet that wrought miracles before him, which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and that had worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of burning with fire and brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat on the horse, and the sword proceeded out of his mouth. And all the fowls were filled with flesh. Okay, so it's a literal thing that happens, and they come and eat.
And all the fowls were filled with flesh. That means they're going to be eating all the
the dead carcasses.
That, yeah, yeah.
So while they're thrown into the thing, they're not completely burned. Their bodies are going to do it, but they're spiritually dead. But let's go on. Okay, so that this is Yom Kippur, and this is the Day of Atonement, and this is the Day of the Lord. You know, this is when this happens. And by the way, Joel's book's out now about all this. And I saw an angel come down. This is in 20, having an angel come down, having the key of the bottomless pit, with a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on that dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. That's 1,000 year reign of Messiah on earth. After that, he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones and them that sat upon it. Well, okay, stop. So that is from Revelation 19, 10 to 21, and then 21 to 3. That's Yom Kippur. Now, here's the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, I'm going to take you right into the Feast of Tabernacles. And so after he cast them in to the bottomless pit. Okay, now, 4, we're picking it up. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon him, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Yeshua and the word of Yahweh, which did not worship the beast, neither his image, and neither received a mark on their foreheads or in their hand. And they lived and reigned with Messiah 1,000 years. That's what the Feast of Trumpets is all about, the living and reigning with Messiah for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead, that's the evil dead, lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. So
no, it's not at the first you're resurrected, it's at the end.
Well, the second resurrection is the one that you don't want no part in. The second resurrection is those that are evil.
Right.
You know, okay, but then we don't have time for the rest of it. Folks, if you read on, it even talks about how then Yahweh himself will come down, and that's the last great day. Everything after that's about the last great day, which... let's go back to this real quick. So,
these are the dead that are raised. The first resurrection, the dead in Christ that arise first to reign with the Lord
right.
for 1,000 years
to
minister to try and get other people to come to the Lord in that 1,000 years, right?
Right.
That's their last chance.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, okay, but we don't have a lot of time, so let's
okay.
So you just need to read it all, folks. But anyway, from 4. Okay, from 4 to 7, Revelation 20, 4 to 7 is Sukkot, Tabernacles, which begins dark on October 2nd and runs 7 days till dark on the 9th of October, which at dark on the 9th is the last great day, dark to dark on the 10th. And then dark on the 10th till the 11th is an added thing called Semitic Torah, which is not in the Bible, but they celebrate it because that's when they restart the Torah the day after the last great day,
right.
And that's when they do that. But you can go see these things played out right in it, and we'll get more into the feast as we get close, because we're getting close, and I can't wait. But this feast is so important this year because we do need to repent for this nation, and believe me, everybody has something to repent about. We need to pray and go along with what Jonathan Cahn's doing and the rest of the station and a lot of preachers. So, okay, Mission Church. What about Mission Church? Are you going to go speechless, or you got something to say?
Am I going to go speechless? I thought you said, are you going to go feed them? I said, yeah, I'm going to go feed them. Tomorrow's feed day. I'm going to go feed them. I don't know what I'm going to feed yet, but I'm going. Yeah, we still need support to do this. We need our main need right now is bags.
We got
go
bags. You don't
so
have to
bags.
Worry about bags. So that the woman's going to be there on Friday. That helps us out. We don't have to ever worry about bags again.
Okay.
So the 77-year-old woman is getting bags for us, and she also makes masks for the people.
Okay. Peanut butter, toilet paper, and plates.
Right. Go plates. We need all kinds of paper products, but let's go with this. So what she isn't pointing out, and that's my wife, is the fact that with COVID, donations are just really shaky. I mean, we've got a couple of people that are really solid or a few people, but we've lost some donations. I know we've lost some mail-in donations, have we not?
A few.
And I've just about a week or a couple within the last 3 weeks, I've lost over, about $300 or $400 worth of normal donations that come by PayPal that I count on to do other things because
right.
So we have lost some donations, and so pray about supporting.
And just because we're not there open, feeding sandwiches and doing the drinks and all the stuff that we used to do, the cost is still there, if not more, because we do almost three times the dinner plate, the dinners.
Right, right, right. And so, and if you live in Wichita, you know the weather dramatically changed. We need coats, hats, gloves, all
of the
things.
Oh, it's wintertime, yes. We need blankets, and it's getting cold. It's going to be in the 40s next week, I think, and we need blankets.
And I've already had requests for blankets and sleeping bags and two-man...
Coats.
Two-man tents, anything that you can get, but...
Because most of the coat drives and organizations that pass out free coats, I don't know why they wait till October, but they usually wait till around Thanksgiving time to pass that stuff out, and they need that stuff now.
Thanksgiving or after.
Yeah, and we need that stuff now.
We need it now. It's cold outside now. You know, I don't. My always thought was it must be because the people that do it think, you know, they're inside, I guess. I don't know, but they do. They wait until...
November's when they do most of the coats hand out, so we need coats now. We need
jackets, coats, and things.
Blanket.
Waterproof things. If you got raincoats, we could use raincoats.
And you can just
drive
through Wichita, Kansas, or probably just about anywhere, and you can tell by all the litter that's everywhere, there are a lot more people living outside, a lot more.
Yeah, it's picking up. It's picking up. And again, folks, remember, we've had confirmation, more than one confirmation I have, that the food banks don't have near as much food. There's one feeding program in Wichita that has been working, but it's all over. It's food from the farm that Trump started, and Ivanka Trump. Trump told her to go do something with the farmers, and so they started
I thought that ended July.
It's still going. No, it's still going because I just seen a ministry that had those exact food boxes online.
That's a very good program.
In Wichita, giving them out today, and so that food, you know, farm to family. That's
what it is, farm to family.
Yeah. Anyway, and Frank says, "How about bus tickets so they can go somewhere warm?" There's a lot of people that ask for bus tickets. Rarely does anybody ever have money for bus tickets, but.
Black Lives Matter has bus tickets.
I don't know.
That
what are you
funny.
Talking about?
Well, they bus everybody to riot, so they're the ones that
join
the
back.
Bus
that's
ticket.
A bad joke. That is a bad joke. I wouldn't join Black Lives
Matter. It has nothing to do with Black Lives.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what the black folks are saying. If you want to know about it, go to any place and see who it is. It's not black folks that are mostly in it. It's all white people. Anyway, so, folks, pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. We really do need your help. That's a fact. You can donate online or over the telephone. You can you can donate or check money order. You can find all the information at prophecyhour.com. And if you don't wish to help the poor, consider a donation for radio airtime. It's not free. Donations keep us on the air. Okay. You want to say goodbye to them or anything else? You got about a half second or two.
Well, shalom.
Shalom. Folks, you must really remember there is only one true God. Who is he? He is your father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins, and he rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That is praying for Yeshua's return. Lord our God, Father, King of the universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that, Father, you would please and bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and you would be gracious to them, and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.